Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, to another episode of Layla Weighs In. Yes, it's Friday. So today, what I want to talk to you about, something very, very important. You know, as a nutritionist, as a registered dietitian, part of my intake when I see a patient is I ask them about their oral health. Do they have dentures? Do they have all of their natural teeth? Do they have any recent implants? Do they have periodontal disease? Any root canals? Because our dental health is it impacts the rest of our health. And one of the things why oral health is so important, it is related to all the systems in the body, but it is also where we receive our nutrition, you know, the pie hole. We have to be able to chew our food, swallow our food, to have enough saliva to begin the digestion of food within our mouth. That happens with salivary amylase. And oral health is very important throughout the life cycle, and our oral health declines with age. And this can lead to an increased occurrence of cavities, of periodontal disease, and other oral problems. And a decline in our oral health, especially in the elderly, they can have systemic consequences, not only affecting our physical health, but also our quality of life, our well-being, all of that. Too often, you know, I'll see an elderly patient, typically an elderly old lady or old man, and because they're not able to chew so well anymore, they're reliant on many, many soft foods, or just, you know, a little bit of bread or a little bit of soup, not much to chew on, not much in the way of any salads or vegetables or other fruits. So this can bring down their nutrition status, and that's something as a nutritionist I'm concerned about. Elderly patients experience more dental caries, and some of the reason they experience more cavities, and some of the reasons are the following. They have salivary changes that can occur with age. They have poor eating habits. They get called gingival recession. That means, yes, it means getting long in the tooth, right? You've heard of, you know, we're getting older, we're getting long in the tooth. We're getting more recession of our gums. And what that does is it causes the root surface to be exposed. And a very, very, very big cause in elderly is dry mouth. And what is one of the main reasons that they get dry mouth? It's the medications they're taking. Saliva has a critical part in lubricating and protecting the oral cavity, the oral mucosa, so we can chew properly and swallow properly and not choke. Saliva facilitates speech. It's involved in how well our taste buds are working. It can buffer and neutralize acid. It helps to remineralize our teeth because, you know, our saliva contains peptides, glycoproteins, enzymes, and lysozymes. And these lysozymes help. It's our first line of defense, actually, against foodborne illness and any pathogenic bacteria that are going to live in the mouth and cause cavities like Streptococcus mutans or the bacteria that cause periodontal disease. So saliva is one of our first line of defense against all of that. Now, when we don't make enough saliva, it can also cause denture discomfort in denture wearers and opportunistic infections such as candida. You've all heard me talk about candida. So why does dry mouth occur, or xerostomia? Xerostomia is dry mouth, and it often accompanies certain medical conditions, rheumatoid arthritis, Sjogren's syndrome. Sjogren's is an autoimmune condition where salivary glands, tear ducts, all of these glands that create tears and lubrication become dried out. They're being attacked by the immune system. People with Sjogren's have terrible dry mouth. People with uncontrolled HIV, people with kidney disease and diabetes, and drugs. The drugs especially are most impactful here in terms of dry mouth. It's often a side effect. If you look at a PDR, a physician's desk reference, if you look at my PDR here in my desk, every drug, most, I would say 90% of drugs list dry mouth as a side effect. And this is important. What kinds of drugs? Antispasmodic drugs, bronchodilators, you know, bronchodilators for people with asthma, antiarrhythmics, those who have heart arrhythmias, antihistamine. Every other person I know during hay fever season is on an antihistamine. This dries us out. It not only dries up the nasal congestion, the sinuses, but it dries up a little bit our salivary glands, and that can cause more dry mouth. Other drugs, skeletal muscle relaxers, psychotropic pharmaceuticals, psychiatric drugs, okay? And all this drying up, the oral dryness, predispose people to malnutrition because when we have a dry mouth, we have trouble chewing our food, lubricating our food, protecting us from foodborne illness, and swallowing our foods, okay? So other things that are related to poor oral health, there are studies that have found a consistent correlation between periodontitis, that's periodontal disease. Periodontal disease is advanced gum disease where you're having tooth loss and bone loss. These are people who haven't gone to the dentist all their lives. This also happens among smokers and among diabetics. Let me continue. So there's some correlation between periodontal disease and a risk of developing cardiovascular disease in the future. And what this association is about is that the bacteria in periodontal disease can be released into the systemic circulation. And what that causes is more systemic inflammation. And this is what's happening when the periodontal pathogens are released into our circulation. So when you're going for that dental cleaning twice a year, four times a year, all that bacteria is being released into systemic circulation. And this has some association with establishing or already established cardiovascular disease. When I say cardiovascular disease, I'm talking about specifically coronary artery disease. Now, poor periodontal health in those people who already have established heart disease have more of a risk, especially if they're going to go through a procedure, a surgical procedure, where they might have a valve replacement or some other kind of surgical procedure. Those people will require antibiotics. Now, antibiotics, you know, frequent use or even occasional use of antibiotics can promote the growth of candidiasis, but when we're taking antibiotics, it's important to take a probiotic. And when we're taking probiotics along with the antibiotics, there has to be a space in between of, I would say, at least 2 hours. Your mileage may vary according to the type of practitioner you're asking that question to, but that's a general rule. More correlations with periodontal disease. Diabetes is a known risk factor for gum disease, especially advanced periodontal disease. But the presence of advanced gum disease can also impair blood sugar control in people with diabetes. And guess what? When they don't have good glycemic control, when they can't have good control of their blood sugar, this can trigger the onset of the complications of diabetes. We're talking about kidney disease, circulatory problems, blindness, all of that. Now, diabetes results actually in an excessive inflammatory response to the gum disease bacteria. And this interferes with the process that can help lead to repair, enhancing even more destruction of the gums. And it's also related to the AGEs, that very apropos acronym for advanced glycation end products. People with diabetes have more AGEs circulating, and this further complicates matters if there is corresponding periodontal disease. Okay. Now, Here on the other, it's a bit of a chicken and egg too with regard to periodontal disease and diabetes, because there was a meta-analysis that found that compared to non-diabetics, people who have diabetes have worse oral hygiene and a decline in periodontal health, indicating that diabetes may contribute to the gum disease as well. So which is causing what? And when you've got already established gum disease and diabetes, what does it really matter? Because each is now contributing to the other, and there goes the vicious cycle of that. More correlations to why we need to take better care of our teeth and our gums. There's been a correlation found. Now, let me back up the truck a little bit and explain correlation. Correlation means there's some association found in these two variables. They happen to be occurring together, but that does not mean that one causes the other. Let me be clear. Correlation does not equal causation. Very, very, very important. So let me get back to this. There is a correlation that has been found between periodontal disease and dementia. Uh-oh. There was a study that demonstrated that for each tooth lost per decade since an initial dental examination, there was a greater likelihood of having a lower score on a particular test that determines mental state, dementia, and those. The bacteria related to gingivitis, to periodontal disease, is called Porphyromonas gingivalis, P. gingivalis. This is the pathogen that's linked to periodontitis. People with this pathogen scored worse on cognitive tests, and subjects who had the highest levels of antibodies to the bacteria P. gingivalis had poor delayed verbal recall and impaired subtraction. They had impaired, functional performing, just mathematics, simple subtraction, compared to subjects with the lowest levels of the bacteria P. gingivalis. Now, the high levels of our immune response, that's TNF-alpha and antibodies against this periodontal bacteria, are found to be an independent risk factor for Alzheimer's disease. I would be very curious to know, amongst those people with Alzheimer's today, or with some subclinical Alzheimer's or new occurring dementia, I would be very curious to know the state of their oral health, their dental health. If there's any evidence of gum disease, advanced periodontal disease, it would be very interesting to see. I hope somebody looks at that further. I think it merits a lot more review and scrutiny. So the mechanisms behind advanced periodontal disease, gum disease, these infections that can cause systemic disease, is thought to be the inflammatory response, because our immune systems, when they're working properly, they are provoked by pathogenic bacteria to cause some inflammation in the body, and those are our good immune soldiers coming out to attack this bacteria. So, very important to take care of our oral health. It's something that declines as we age. We need to be more vigilant about it, okay? And the nutritional consequences for dental caries, cavities, and periodontitis, it's more than a cosmetic issue. Because, as I said earlier, people who have missing teeth, they are abstaining from eating vegetables and fruits, and that's where we have much of our needed nutrients. People with fewer than 12 teeth, especially, have trouble in this area, and whether they know it or not, are leaning towards or more apt to eat softer foods. Many of those softer foods don't have possibly as much nutrition as your salad or your crisp tender broccoli, and certainly a medium rare steak is going to be tougher to chew. There was a study conducted in Japan, where subjects who perceived their dentures to have a poor fit or who had impaired dentition consumed significantly less multiple nutrients compared to a group with good dentition. Okay, I'm taking this out of a wonderful newsletter by a naturopathic physician named Chris Miletus. Wonderful, wonderful article. Now, lifestyle solutions for common oral concerns. We need to brush frequently, but not more than twice a day. You don't want to brush too hard, and you know your dentist should be telling you this, because when we brush too hard, you can brush away your gums. Did you know that the softness, your toothbrush, you know how toothbrushes are sold in soft, medium, and hard? You should always be buying the soft one. Otherwise, we're doing too much brushing, or it's too much scraping, and that could scrape away our enamel, and we could be scraping away our gums slowly over time. And regular dental visits, of course, are necessary to prevent cavities, and frequent use of a sweetener that we like here a lot at the Hoffman Center, xylitol, has been linked to a marked decline in the incidence of cavities and improved lesion remineralization. So xylitol, it's a sweetener, it's a sugar alcohol, can help with the prevention of dental cavities. And one of the ways that xylitol works by breaking up the biofilms that bacteria, especially in pockets in the periodontal disease, in infections of periodontal disease, these biofilms envelop the bacteria, and xylitol is very, very useful in cleaving those biofilms so that the infection can clear up, that big bacteria can be flushed out. You've heard of our clear nasal spray, right? The clear nasal spray is also good for sinus bacteria. It breaks up the biofilms. So we like to advise our patients to avoid sugar. And for those that need it, they can chew xylitol gum a few times a day. Can often be helpful in preventing cavities. It's also advisable, certainly, if you have ill-fitting, poor-fitting dentures, go back to your dentist, go back to your oral health practitioner, make sure those dentures are fitting properly, because you don't want to have further gum problems or inflammation or infections. And for those of you who are frequent users of mouthwash, listen up. The use of antiseptic mouthwash has its downfalls. Too much oral hygiene in this area will disturb your microbiome. Wait a minute, you're saying. I don't swallow my mouthwash. My microbiome is in my gut, in my small intestine, my large intestine, my stomach. We have microbiome all over our bodies. You know, we are a superorganism. And the microbiota begins in our mouth, in our oral cavities. And if you're a frequent user of mouthwash, Scope, Listerine, whatever it is, the alcohol in the mouthwash, the antiseptic in that mouthwash is destroying your microbiome. Not to mention the very drying effects of alcohol in that mouthwash. If you're complaining of dry mouth and you're not on any medication, how often are you using mouthwash? If you're using it more than once or twice a day, that could be the sole reason for your dry mouth. It's that alcohol in the mouthwash. Not to mention people who drink regularly or even heavily, they will have more of a dry mouth, and that's because of the alcohol. So, if you're using mouthwash, you're disturbing your microbiota. Better thing to use for your dry mouth would be a combination of hyaluronic acid and a xylitol in an oral rinse. This can help increase your salivation and tend to that dry mouth properly. So stop using your mouthwash. Finally, you want to, the same way we re-inoculate our gut with healthy probiotics, it's also good for the microbiota in our mouth, in the oral cavity. Probiotics have a very important role to play in our oral health. They help to establish its own biofilm in the oral cavity that can protect our gums and tissues from pathogenic bacteria. So that's a reason for not using the mouthwash and for using quality probiotics. And beneficial probiotics will compete with the bacteria responsible for periodontal disease. There have been a handful of human studies that found the lactobacillus strains of probiotics are helpful. Lactobacillus plantarum, rhamnosus, salivarius are very helpful against the bacteria P. gingivalis. So, in summary, I remind you all to make regular appointments with your dentist, to go for regular cleanings. If you have ill-fitting dentures, make sure to get that cleared up, okay? I recommend xylitol gum for patients who can chew gum and to help if they have periodontal disease and to cut back on cavities. Why does one person have no cavities or very few and somebody else will have very many? It's because the person who has very many, their mouth is a particularly kind host to the cavity bacteria, which is called Streptococcus mutans. So the introduction of xylitol gum can be helpful, or a xylitol rinse. Also, investigate with your doctor. If you have dry mouth, it could be some of your medications. See if your doctor can't readjust those medications or change to a different drug so you have less dry mouth. Okay? And any of you taking antibiotics for any reason or any procedures, make sure that you're taking beneficial probiotics to re-inoculate not just your GI tract, but your oral mucosa so that you can have good oral health. Okay. Thank you for listening to this edition of Layla Weighs In on the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.